March 18th through the 20th saw the 2024 Summit for Democracy being held in South Korea, formerly known as the Republic of Korea, in which discussions regarding the future of democracy were in full swing. However, the new and pertinent topic of the role and impact of artificial intelligence took the forefront of the summit, begging questions of how innovative technology and international cybersecurity will reconcile in different states across the global stage. This brings us to our own questions of how we got here and where we may be heading next. From Seton Hall University, this is The Global Current. I'm your host, Trisha Ballion. With me today are two fellow Seton Hall students. Covering the domestic situation today is our analyst, Nev Walker. Hi, Nev.
Hello.
And focusing on the international aspect today is Joey Brennan. Hey, Joey.
Hi, Trisha.
So before we get too deep into our conversation, I'm going to turn to you, Nev, and just ask for a little bit of background about the summit we saw this year and also the past summits. So what exactly is a Summit for Democracy and how did it start?
Yeah, so the Summit for Democracy was initiated by President Biden in 2021, and it's a global gathering aimed at promoting democratic values, strengthening democratic institutions, and addressing challenges to democracy worldwide. President Biden's intention for his administration was to reassert the United States' commitment to democracy, both domestically and internationally, as well as rallying like-minded nations to collectively address threats to democratic principles. The first summit was held in December 2021 and brought together leaders and representatives from over 100 participating governments and made well over 750 commitments across various areas. The topics discussed in this specific conference regarded advancing technology for democracy, media freedom, countering the misuse of technology, and improving financial transparency, as well as gender equality and the rule of law. Along with this, there's also talks regarding defense against authoritarianism, as well as fighting corruption and promoting human rights and civil liberties, which we have seen these talks increase over the past few summits as well.
Mm-hmm. And so can you give us an overview of the 2024 summit and kind of what we saw there?
Yeah, so the 2024 Summit for Democracy was hosted by South Korea this year with the theme Democracy of the Future. There's a few main areas of focus, including strengthening democratic institutions and governments, promoting human rights, including freedom of speech and assembly, combating corruption and promoting transparency, and defending against authoritarianism and disinformation campaigns. The agenda for this summit included discussions largely on the role of technology, including the role that AI plays in shaping the future of democracy. There's also lots of topics of contemporary issues, though, such as climate change and economic inequality.
Mm-hmm. And so what did we see from some of the different countries there? What was the role of the U.S. in this, the 2024 summit?
Yeah, so there's lots of different roles from like different countries, of course, but the United States was really the spearhead of this summit. So the United States delegation was led by Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. He very much emphasized efforts to strengthen democratic resilience, human rights, and good governance globally. The Biden-Harris administration also requested $11.8 billion in democracy, human rights, and governance foreign assistance, highlighting the commitment to supporting democratic values worldwide.
And so what did we see from South Korea as kind of the host here? What were their like opening comments in this summit to kind of bring us further into the conversation of how it has to deal with South Korea?
Yeah, so South Korea's president delivered the opening statement, emphasizing the importance of democracy in navigating global challenges, as well as promoting peace and prosperity. However, there has been some criticisms that have arisen regarding the summit and the selection of invitees, especially with like the exclusion of certain leaders or governments that are deemed undemocratic or seem to have authoritarian governments or tendencies.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to add just regarding the background, Joey, before we kind of move on further in conversation?
Yeah, it was just, it's great to see a summit where we have global collaboration between democracies and authoritarian governments coming together and working together to establish international norms for cybersecurity and AI.
Absolutely. And so that really brings me well into my next question I'm going to direct to you, Nev. How does the theme of democracy of the future relate to AI?
Yeah, so the theme democracy of the future relates to AI in several ways. AI technologies are becoming increasingly influential in various aspects of society, including governance and decision-making processes. So this... So highlighting AI at different summits such as this ensures that democratic principles are upheld, especially as we do dive into investing in higher technology. Issues of such as AI bias and privacy concerns and potential authoritarian exploitation of AI systems, they need to be talked about, and they really underscore the need for democratic oversight and the regulation of AI development and deployment in government spaces.
And how does that relate to South Korea's involvement as being like the host of the conference? Have they had any struggles or issues with AI having to do with democracy?
Yeah, so during the summit, yeah, there was discussions relating to South Korea and AI. So South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol did highlight the dangers of fake news and disinformation, stressing the need to safeguard democratic systems while harnessing the potential of AI for promoting democracy. Along with this, like, there is a lot of significance with why South Korea is hosting the conference, as it does lie in its status as a global pivotal state with a strong commitment to democratic principles and a thriving economy. However, again, there are criticisms that have arisen regarding South Korea's own democratic challenges, such as issues relating to media freedom and political polarization.
So could you explain a little more what it means for Korea to be a global pivotal state?
Yeah, so a global pivotal state is a country that advances freedom, peace, and prosperity through liberal democratic values and cooperation. So South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol has outlined his vision for South Korea as a global pivotal state, or GPS, which has changed the country's foreign and security policy in many different ways.
So it's definitely kind of understanding why South Korea is having this role as host, kind of pushing that agenda forward. So it's something that they're trying to reach. As of right now, not necessarily something that they've maybe fully gotten to yet.
Exactly.
And so how did world leaders address some of these issues during the summit? Just kind of go through some of the proceedings that happened in the summit, some of the outcomes, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so during the summit, world leaders addressed many different issues regarding technology, AI, and other threats to democracy through dialogue and cooperation, which really reaffirms their commitment to upholding democratic values and addressing concerns raised by critics. So key participants, other than, you know, South Korea and the United States, like key players have been Secretary Blinken, Prime Minister Kishida, President Biden, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. They've all delivered remarks underscoring the importance of democratic cooperation and addressing shared challenges. To highlight Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau for a moment, he has announced initiatives to support democracy and human rights, including increasing funding for civil society organizations in efforts to combat online disinformation. So, you know, it's just another thing that one specific country is doing to uphold democratic values.
So I'm going to turn to you, Joey, now just for some more kind of like international perspectives here. Could you tell us about some of the international stances that we saw during the summit and the main takeaways from different actors?
Yeah, so I'll start with the main takeaways. One of the big things that was agreed upon during the summit was that there needs to be an international set of AI and cybersecurity norms in order to regulate their usage. So starting with the U.S., who is a major leader in this field, they have been somewhat criticized by other nations for having potentially loose regulations about AI and cybersecurity and their usage. But they've promised to prioritize technological advancements and economic benefits of AI, both domestically and internationally. In terms of China, who is another large cybersecurity developer and user, they have ambitious AI plans, which have raised worries and concerns about authoritarian control and potential misuse of technology, especially in back channels and in ways that China can claim plausible deniability. In Europe, and specifically the European Union, their main concern has been ethical considerations and human rights and artificial intelligence and its development, and they've been really pushing for stronger regulations and safeguards, as that's been their main concern. Even though they're not some of the largest leaders and developers, that's where their main struggle has been. Mm-hmm. And going back to Asia, in India, they sought to establish global standards for responsible AI development and highlighting the needs for consistent cybersecurity preparedness across nations. So you can see this pattern across internationally, a want and need for ethical AI use and development, as well as a concern for human rights and ensuring that those are being upheld. And then moving to Argentina and Latin America, they've emphasized vulnerability of critical infrastructure to cyber attacks, and they've called for international cooperation in cybersecurity and countering disinformation and misinformation campaigns, as that's been a huge problem in Argentina and Latin America in general, suffering from cyber attacks to critical infrastructure. And then finally, in Belarus, they've acknowledged that they have their own vulnerabilities to cyber attacks, as they're still developing cyber capabilities, as well as most of Eastern Europe and Asia. But they've highlighted the global nature of the threat and understand that it's going to require global and international cooperation to develop stronger capabilities.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So we're definitely seeing a lot of different perspectives from across the globe. But I wanted to ask you, Nev, if you wanted to chime in on maybe some specific statements we've heard from different world leaders, just kind of help bolster what we've been discussing as far as different stances.
Yeah, so there's definitely been a lot of talk about AI specifically regarding different world leaders. So example of this is President Yoon Suk-yeol from South Korea. He stated that the role of AI in society and that fake news and disinformation using artificial intelligence and digital technologies not only violate individual freedoms and human rights, but also threaten democratic systems. He said this, yet he does believe that artificial intelligence and new digital technologies can promote democracy while protecting the safety of individuals and societies, which I think really goes back to the idea that this technology, it can be used to spread disinformation, it can be used to harm people, but at the end of the day, we can be able to harness this technology to be able to use it for our own benefit. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has also said that artificial intelligence and digital tools actually spur democratic renewal and do not undermine it, which again goes back to the fact that we need to all work together in order to create a framework of how we're going to be able to use artificial intelligence. And so, yeah, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida of Japan, he had similar cautions regarding artificial intelligence. But he does believe that through the creation of Japan's AI Strategy Council, as well as a framework that they have developed called the Hiroshima AI Process, they would be able to use AI for the benefit of society. So there's a lot of different world leaders, prominent world leaders, that are talking about the use of AI. For Biden, another example, he has talked about his commitment to create a comprehensive framework regarding the use of AI at the past two summits. So he's agreeing to work with more people, and he notes that emerging technologies can bolster democracy or undermine it, which again really goes back to the idea of why we need summits exactly like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a really prominent and kind of up-and-coming concern that no one's really had to face before as far as how to govern this internationally. So It's very interesting to have such prominent world leaders discussing all of this. And so I want to turn back to you, Joey, and ask if there is any differences appearing between the stances of democracies versus the other states with other government systems that are present at the summit.
Yeah, so it appears that the more democratic countries have more of a concern about the spread of disinformation and misinformation and social media manipulation impacting that global political discourse, and also the effects that AI and deepfakes have on human rights abuses, whereas more authoritarian countries have more of a stance that is centered on themselves and how they can use AI to benefit themselves and not necessarily implementing international cooperation to benefit people within the states and not just their own governments.
Mm-hmm. And why might this divide be? Like, what do you think could be some reasoning behind that?
Well, I think it's just the nature of their governments and that democracies are built to support the people, whereas authoritarian countries and their governments tend to prop themselves up on having an established class of elites. And so I think that's just a result of the nature of those governments.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you elaborate a little bit more on some of the criticisms I know that Nev brought up regarding the invitations to the summit, as well as I know there's been some discourse about it being held virtually. Can you maybe talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so a lot of those criticisms play into those concerns about misinformation and disinformation, where having a virtual summit, you can definitely communicate with other people and you can see their faces, but you don't see anything outside of that screen, whereas holding the summit in person allows for you to have those more personal connections, more personal conversations, and really tap into the personal side of diplomacy, whereas the virtual conference takes away from that a little bit and contributes to the spread of misinformation.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But now I kind of want to move ahead and just address what the outcomes of the summit were, kind of what people agreed upon, what we might be seeing going forward in the future. So sticking with you, Joey, what conclusions were reached during the summit?
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, there was a conclusion that there needs to be an establishment of global norms and standards for responsible AI development. There hasn't been an established global set of global norms yet, or an updated set of global norms, but this summit allows for progress to be made in that direction.
Do you want to chime in, Nev, regarding kind of Korea's role and maybe some of the outcomes we saw specifically within South Korea or within the U.S.?
Yeah, so I think because of Korea's dedication to become a GPS state, they are going to work harder on having those democratic values, on having those progressive AI frameworks and norms. So I think overall what we're going to see is countries such as South Korea, countries such as the United States, countries such as Canada or Japan or any other countries that we've mentioned, they are going to put at the forefront different emerging technologies, especially considering how rampant AI has been evolving in the past few years. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely going to be very interesting the effects of this conference is going to be, especially if we're going to continue having them virtual over the next few years.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And so turning back to you, Joey, how do international organizations such as the United Nations factor into the agreements that arise in the summits? Are they compatible with the UN? How does that international law aspect work?
Yeah, so recently the UN actually just closed their latest open-ended working group on cybersecurity and information and communication technologies, where they agreed that there needs to be continued dialogue and debate about the current cyber ethical norms and whether or not they need to be updated. So these summits play really well hand in hand with those debates, as they allow for state leaders and high-level ambassadors to work together and create norms that will benefit as many people as possible across the world and allow for cyber and AI to be used ethically as widespread as possible.
Mm-hmm. So it's like another platform for discussion outside of the UN.
As much debate as possible will benefit the situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so just to kind of wrap up on what we're looking at as far as these outcomes, I'm going to turn to you, Nev. Based off the previous summits, will these norms that we're seeing become effective practically, kind of based on what we've seen in the past? Has there been strong effectiveness coming out of these summits?
Well, the question of if the outcome is going to be effective really hinges on several factors. For one, the implementation of commitments made by participating governments is crucial. Like I said before, the past few summits, there's been over 750 commitments that are made. But ensuring that their translation, that they translate well into tangible action is essential for real impact. Moreover, addressing digital threats to democracy, including misinformation and AI, requires ongoing collaboration and adaptation. The rapid evolution of technology demands agile responses and continuous monitoring to stay ahead of emerging challenges, which may seem very difficult to be able to counteract this evolving technology while only having a summit once a year or once every few years. Despite criticisms, though, and despite concerns about the selection of invitees and the summit does serve as a platform for dialogue and cooperation. By bringing together diverse voices and perspectives, the summit does foster a collective approach to addressing democratic challenges. So as world leaders continue to grapple with the complexities of safeguarding democracy in the digital age, the Summit for Democracy provides a forum for shared learning and action. By harnessing the power of collaboration and innovation, the outcomes of these summits can potentially be practically effective in safeguarding democratic principles, but it all depends on how committed we are to actually putting our thoughts or our commitments into tangible actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess we're going to have to wait and see on that front in terms of how we move on past this and what actual, yeah. like you said, the tangible aspects things come out of that.
Definitely.
And I want to turn back to you, Joey, and ask, have there been other instances of AI being used to impact elections around the globe? I know we mentioned that having to do with Seoul and some of South Korea's concerns there, but have we seen that around the world as well?
Yeah, so I guess most notably, there have been instances in both India and Belarus. Primarily in India, governments have asked technology companies to seek explicit consent before launching generative AI models because they've had instances in the past regarding other generative AI models providing information to users that India is an authoritarian leading government, which obviously the Indian government does not approve of or appreciate. And in this Belarus instance, there was actually a Belarusian dissident that created a fake political candidate to lead the opposition to Lukashenko, the president of Belarus. And this AI bot, which was the fake political candidate, caused a very large stir in Belarus. And there were calls to imprison the political candidate, but the political candidate is an AI bot and can't actually be imprisoned because it's just a code that virtually communicates with people using a deep fake, and it's not a real person, which makes it very difficult for Lukashenko to combat the opposition.
Yeah, it's definitely a point of concern of how you really address candidates or people who don't even exist that have been kind of created by you know, artificial intelligence. And so beyond elections, are there more areas that are being impacted by AI and the creation of these deep fakes?
Yeah, we've seen this both in the Russian-Ukraine war and the war going on in Israel right now. Through the media, deepfakes have been used to create fake videos, fake dialogues, and overall trying to twist the narrative in either way on both sides of both wars to spin the population's opinion and view, and also just try and gain some sort of popularity, I guess, within the international media and gain views, even if those videos aren't fake and they're being created using AI.
Mm-hmm. And so just to kind of wrap up our discussion here and have some final thoughts, I'm going to stick with you, Joey, for a minute and just ask, is there contention regarding Biden advocating for democratic summits such as this when there's been a lot of criticism towards his administration handling the current conflicts in both Ukraine and Gaza?
Yeah, some critics might say that those priorities aren't in the right spot. But that debate can go either way. It depends on what side you lean on and what priorities there are internationally and domestically and balancing those priorities and the Biden administration's agenda. So there definitely is some contention, but you can go either way with that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And like you mentioned earlier, AI definitely has a lot to do with both of those conflicts. So I'm sure it'll be very pertinent. Those actions coming out of that will maybe help sway some of those criticisms to see the possible good implications that might come out of that regarding the AI. And turning to you, Nev, has the action of South Korea hosting the summit impacted the tensions in their own region, particularly regarding the South China Sea dispute and the looming threat of China invading Taiwan? Like, has this had really impact on those tensions in the region?
Yeah, so the Republic of Korea hosting the Summit of Democracy undoubtedly holds significance in the geopolitical landscape of East Asia. As a pivotal state with a strong commitment to democratic values and global governance, Korea's role in hosting the summit may influence regional dynamics. However, though, it is essential to note that the summit for democracy primarily focuses on promoting democratic principles and addressing global challenges. While the summit does provide a platform for dialogue and cooperation among participating nations, there wasn't a clear or direct impact on specific regional tendencies, which may have been, you know, it may have been mentioned indirectly or in a limited capacity, but there's no mention of any specific conflicts going on in the world at the moment. But tensions in the South China Sea and Taiwan are complex and multifaceted, rooted in, you know, historical disputes, territorial claims, strategic rivalries. But the hosting of the Summit for Democracy by Korea, it may not directly influence longstanding issues. That being said, it does show that South Korea is standing up for democracy, and especially against a potential corrupt country that has been using technology to their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So nonetheless, the summit's emphasis on democratic values and rule-based international order could indirectly contribute to stability in the region by reaffirming the importance of democratic governance and peaceful conflict resolution. The summit promotes principles that support regional stability and security. But ultimately, the impact of the Republic of Korea hosting the Summit for Democracy on regional tendencies depend on various factors, including basically the response of the neighboring countries' broader geopolitical context. So while the summit does not directly address any specific regional disputes, it underscores the importance of maintaining global governance and multilateral cooperation in maintaining peace and stability.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. This has been a really great discussion. Thank you both, Joey and Nev, for coming on.
Yep, thank you so much.
Thank you, Trisha.
Joining me now to round out some other headlines this week is our news briefer, Nadia Chernoff. Hi, Nadia.
Hi, Trish.
So what headlines do you have for us this week?
Yes, we have Senegal elects opposition leader as next president, ICJ orders Israel to allow for aid into Gaza, and 45 killed in bus crash in South Africa.
Sounds like lots of interesting stories to cover today. Let's start with the election in Senegal.
Yeah. Senegal's presidential election on March 24th saw opposition leader Bassirou Diomaye claim victory with 54% of the vote, triumphing over government-backed candidate Prime Minister Amadou Ba. Faye, just released from prison a week before the election at 44 years old, becomes the youngest leader in West Africa. He pledges to tackle corruption and revamp the country's economy.
I'm sure we'll be following the impact of this election pretty closely. Tell me more about the ICJ's order.
The International Court of Justice has unanimously ruled that Israel must open additional land crossings to facilitate aid into Gaza, as more Palestinians succumb to starvation. Judges emphasized that Palestinians in Gaza are not just at risk of famine, but are already experiencing it. This decision comes after the death of 31 Palestinians from malnutrition and dehydration, including 27 children. Israel is now legally obligated to take, quote, all necessary and effective measures, end quote, to ensure prompt delivery of aid, including food, water, and medical supplies to Gaza.
A very important and pertinent decision. In our last story,
a tragic incident occurred on March 28th in South Africa as a bus plunged 165 feet off a bridge into a ravine, resulting in the loss of 45 lives. The sole survivor, an 8-year-old girl, sustained serious injuries and was rushed to the hospital. The crash took place in the northeastern Limpopo province. The passengers, who were pilgrims traveling from Botswana to an Easter service in the town of Moria, met this unfortunate fate. The transport minister, Sindiswe Chikunga, expressed her heartfelt condolences to the affected families.
Thank you so much for coming on, Nadia. This is all the time we have left for today. Be sure to follow The Global Current on Instagram and LinkedIn for updates on upcoming shows. This show would not have been possible without our dedicated crew, executive producer Bobby Kyle, associate producers Kasia Kostraba and Juliana Mori, technical producers Ashley Skladani and Amelia Vincichinsky, and of course your host, Trisha Ballion. The Global Current is brought to you by Seton Hall University. As always, keep it current with us and catch us on the waves every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. on 89.5 FM WSOU. Until next time, thanks, y'all.